All right.
So it's 238. So that is you. Emergency broadcasting signal. Don't hear that anymore.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, it's still.
We'll talk about it on the air. Hello, Mr. Dedrick. Thank you so much for taking the time to come to this committee hearing on podcast-like activities. You do the Sneaky Dragon podcast. Is this not correct, sir?
I'm going to take the Fifth Amendment, which is my right as an American citizen.
Okay. We'd like you to name names. So if you wouldn't mind naming your podcast host for the record.
Once again, I'm going to take the Fifth Amendment, which does not oblige me to take part in any podcasts.
Okay. So you're saying you will not tell us that Ian Boothby is the co-host of this show?
I do not now, nor have I ever been Ian Boothby.
Okay.
Who is my co-host of the Sneaky Dragon podcast.
But you will not let us know that?
I will not say that on this forum.
All right. The committee would like to know why you have chosen to not wear pants.
I am taking the Sixth Amendment. Which is my right as an American citizen to not wear pants.
Very good. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hi. That was a little skit we did at the very beginning.
Impromptu.
Yeah, there you go.
There's no planning.
That's right.
You could tell right away.
Yeah. We didn't even take a suggestion, because that would make it improv.
That's
instead
right.
of impromptu. Impromptu is like improv, but not as good.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
Mm.
So, Dave, before we got started, you were mentioning you were doing a little emergency broadcast beep kind of thing. Just yes. to test our microphones. Just
for the hell of it.
We do different tests.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, we just stand in the room screaming as loud as possible to test the volume control beforehand,
right.
which the people in the offices around us love. But you were saying you don't hear that anymore, the old emergency broadcast.
Yeah, I don't. It's okay. Admittedly, it's been a while since I've watched television in that way that I would be sitting and watching commercials. So, but I remember as a kid that in the middle of in the middle of cartoons.
Right.
That they would have a test of the emergency broadcast signal.
Well, here's what happened the other day. So my wife and I are watching a show that we had pre-recorded. We're watching it on the DVR or PVR, if that's what you want to play it.
PVR.
Whatever you want to do. Whichever way you swing. So we're watching it. And we're like about 7 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the emergency broadcast thing comes on. We're like, oh, this must have been on during the show. We'll fast forward past it. Wrong. It interrupts the show and it's just on.
Wow.
It just took over like the machine. So somehow like our Shaw, which is where we get our cable, has a thing where it's like, no, we're going to interrupt you while you're watching your show. So it's not like that. And then when it came back, the show had somehow been split in half. And like, you know, so the stuff that we missed, we had to watch on a separate recording. It split the recording somehow. And so we had to watch it separately. It was weird. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is a little disturbing. We thought like this might be real because it seems like they're actually doing it. But nope, no dice. It was all fine. It was just a test. But it's a bit scarier now. It was like a friendlier voice back in the day.
And is that
now
right?
It's more no messing about. Yeah, you pay attention, Jack.
Hmm.
Okay, this could have been it. Yeah, warning.
You know what's really annoying is when you do the
time warp again.
When you do the time warp again.
Yeah.
Because you're playing a part in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Right.
The problem with
that's why you're not wearing pants.
Well, it's because you know the corset. It's always riding up a little bit.
Yeah.
And. You know when you're doing is it called time shift when you're recording shows from back east so that you can enjoy a show that's normally on at 9,
right?
You can tape it at 6 and then watch it at your leisure later on the evening,
or it's on at like 6:30 in Newfoundland. Thanks a lot for that.
Okay,
weirdos.
So you
take half hour before everyone else.
Doesn't seem to me that we ever seem to get much in the way of Canadian ones when I'm doing that. I always get a TV station from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so annoying is that you'll tape the show, you'll watch it later, you've missed your chance to tape it like in your time period, let's say. And then it's interrupted constantly by like blizzard warnings.
Yeah.
Or something has happened where they're like telling everyone about this big event. And it's just the entire show. Most of the screen is taken up by all this, you know, constant crawling. Yeah. And then telling you school closures. and things, and it's just this stream of information, and it's not just once.
Yeah.
It's throughout the show.
You really want to have a setting on your DVR for apathetic, and just go, look, I appreciate you letting me know horrible things are happening in the world, or you're warning me of things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know. I just want to watch my show.
Well, it's not that I don't want to know. It's just that it doesn't affect me. I'm not affected
emotionally,
by some blizzard.
You can't feel it. You can't feel the pain of people that aren't you.
I'm not affected by a blizzard in Maine. Like, I don't need to worry about driving somewhere or that my kids can't go to school the next day because, the school's closed. I don't care. So I'm sure it's very interesting there. Maybe it's not. Maybe they're also, they're like, okay, I've got it. School's closed tomorrow. I get it. Let's just watch the show. And then the crawl starts again.
What they should have is something on the screen where it's like, do you want to know about this? Mm. You know, and then you hit a button and then that comes up and you can see.
But see, it would be too late for me though, of course, because
that's true. Unless it's double streams with both options, and then you can always like do the poll. Yeah, I don't even know how it all works, but you're right. What I do like is I like recording the earlier shows so that I can watch the weird ads from back east and go, it's very different.
Yeah, that's cool too.
Very, very different. Yeah, it feels like it's still the 70s as far as like used car dealerships and my God, there's
furniture.
A lot of lawyers want to help you with something that they probably shouldn't help you with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of furniture places and a lot of, and I also like to see the news. I like to see the little bits of, like, I don't want to watch the news, but I like the little kind of hits where they're trying to suck you into watching the news later.
Whenever I watched a show and we got that little bit of the LA news, it was always some horror thing, like starting off, like, you know, some really awful thing that they were trying to scare you with and they were going to tell you about later. And it just made you not want to ever go to LA. It's like, oh, that place is this land of nightmares. Oh, terrible.
But the news can do that to you anyway. Like, if you know people who live outside of... I was even talking to someone who grew up in Vancouver and now live in Kelowna. Mm-hmm. And she was saying that even she, who grew up here, it feels that kind of paranoia that other people feel outside of Vancouver because all they see of Vancouver is horrible news.
Maybe it's weird to me because, like, whenever I see the news generally, and maybe this is where I live, it's like I always go, oh, that's about 3 blocks from my place. Like almost always. It's like something, but I know I know what 3 blocks from my place is like. It's not really that bad. Yeah. That's a rare occurrence.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, it's fine.
And we live here. We know that, I would feel perfectly comfortable walking through any part of Vancouver at any time of the day or night.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know what? The one exception would possibly be Friday or Saturday night, Granville Street, when it's kind of the entitled drunkards that are there who are looking for a fight, just want to fight because they want to feel something. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the more posh kind of situation in Vancouver. Those guys I'm a little worried about, but anywhere else.
I could take them on, so I'm perfectly happy going down.
Oh, that's right.
Because I'm such a fighter.
Yep.
And a lover.
Yeah. Sometimes you get it confused. You start kissing them. I start kissing them. And it confuses them too. And then, it goes where it goes.
Yeah.
And once again, why you're not wearing pants right now.
And why I'm not.
Because you're ready to fight.
I'm ready to fight. Anyone. And but if you live outside of this area, like having talked to people who live, in the interior and stuff, they disregard this like Babylon. it's just like this crazy place where, you're murdered walking on the road. And,
right.
And I remember getting.
And if you've ever actually been in the interior, that's fucking Babylon.
Is that right?
Yeah. Shenanigans going on.
I guess there's shenanigans everywhere.
Yeah, there is shenanigans going on.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere.
Yeah,
there is. That's life.
Right.
Vancouver's not the only place in the world where you can fuck a goat. I know that for a fact.
Mr. Dedrick, sorry. the committee would like you to repeat that statement about.
Fifth Amendment.
Damn nanny state. My
the
fait accompli is what you say at the end of that.
I remember fait accompli. Woo! I remember when I was working on the fishing boat, getting in an argument with the first deckhand, rather than the second head. I was second deckhand.
He was your second first. Deckhand.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, I think I actually got demoted to second assistant deckhand, but there wasn't even a second deckhand to assist. So
So you have to go one deck down.
Yeah.
And there's no deck, so you're just under the boat.
Yes, right. Just floating in the water, holding a rope. Can I come on? He was telling me, he's like, no, Vancouver's super dangerous. I had some friends there. They went to a bar, and they got into a fight with some guys. I was like, huh? Okay, what bar was it? It was the Cobalt. Well, come on. If you go to a place like that and are looking for a fight, you will find a fight in that place. I guarantee you.
And was this a burly gentleman?
He wasn't burly, but they were fishing. They were fisher folks.
So they got to have some guns on them.
They like to drink and they like to...
Yeah, have guns, I mean muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The gun show.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do. I like to do the gun show.
I find the fighters...
I say, welcome to the gun show, then I go, pew, 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 pew.
That's right. And you do that in church and just point to each pew. And they all find that delightful.
Pew, 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 Pepe Le Pew, right over there.
That's right. That's what they call pews in France. Yeah, you know, I just find like the most dangerous places are the places where the people are the most bored.
Oh, really? So school is the most dangerous place?
Yeah. Yes, we've been through that before. But no, I do find like, you know, a bar where there's some, you know, something going on, people are all right. But if they're bored, yeah, people go there just looking for trouble.
Yeah,
you know, and also it's like they're looking, you know, for maybe a little romance that night.
Sure,
looking for a little action. If they can't get that, they're gonna take that energy out in another way. And again, every Friday and Saturday, you get fights galore on Granville Street.
Mm-hmm. They're looking for love in all the wrong places.
That's right, and boo to that. But you also get that in the small towns. You know, small towns aren't necessarily the safe towns. You know, in any way, shape, mm-hmm. or form.
Sure.
Yeah. And also you get pregnant like that. Oh my God. Everyone gets pregnant like that.
Is that right?
Oh, like nobody's business. You just look the wrong way. Ah, you're pregnant now. Damn it.
But is that ignorance more than danger or?
I think it's more boredom. I think, you know, it's like when I used to do this drug and alcohol information show. It was one of those plays, right? Mm-hmm. Where you mm-hmm. go up and you do the, we're the teenagers, and like one of the people who wrote the thing was clearly not a teenager at all. And
did he have you saying vote odio?
Yeah, that's right.
Wearing a raccoon coat.
Oh, you kid. That's right. And so you do the scenarios like, you know, you're going to drive drunk and what do you do? And then afterwards you talk with the kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you shouldn't because you're not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. But they would always tell like stories.
Yeah.
And basically the stories are, we're bored out of our minds here. There's nothing to do.
Oh, it's terrible.
And so, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to have sex, mm-hmm. you know, or, you know, cause we're done with the video games right now. So let's go do a little, and this was actually before the internet brought us, you know, pornography, which let a little bit of relief perhaps come. But yeah, they were just, well, that's what you do. And then what are you going to do? Are you going to buy, this was the big problem in town was, where are you going to buy condoms from? The drugstore where your neighbor who you know is there and it's full of people you know, you're going to go up with a pack of condoms there. Mm-hmm. No, you're not, because then everyone knows that you're having sex.
Yeah.
Like they won't, you know, when you're pregnant later. And there you are. And then what usually ends up happening is then you stay in the small town there. And that's the story of that.
I was always fine buying condoms. What embarrassed me was buying condors. Mm-hmm. So much more embarrassing.
Right.
I don't know why. Well, when I went up to the pharmacist.
And say, I'd like to fuck a condor. And they go like, oh, too good for a goat. Look at this guy. Mr. Yeah, you're really running down the animals. No, I remember that was a case like when I was in Nelson, BC. Mm. And it was like there was basically one drugstore there. And so, you know, it was weird.
Sure.
You know, and if they knew, you know, who you were going out with, they knew what was going on. And mm-hmm. they, you know, chat you up when you're there. It's friendly conversation, which is not what you want. I want like the apathetic pharmacist who will give me the creams and the ointments that will take care of the things that we do not want to talk about right now. You know, give me the advice. Tell me what not to mix it with.
Yeah.
You know, or when not to wear it or don't put it in the sun.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. I want that. But I don't want, you know, we shouldn't be friends. We should have, you know, we should be friendly. That's possible. Wow. But you shouldn't.
Listen to this big city snob talking.
You shouldn't be a neighbor. No, because then I can't buy a condom. And then something's going to happen in town and someone's going to get a social disease.
Sure.
Yeah. And if they don't get pregnant. Yeah. Social diseases in the small towns were like crazy because, you know, no one wants to be the person to say mm-hmm. the thing.
Yeah.
And then there's, of course, just the hardcore drinking because, mm-hmm. again, you're bored.
It's all over the place.
So you want to feel something. So,
yeah. Ugh. Condorea. It's nothing to laugh at.
No, that's why no one is.
You were laughing.
Yeah. I think that's, by the way, the motto of our show. Nothing to laugh at.
The name of our show.
Yeah.
It's time to switch.
There's a fella I know, by the way, who I can't remember his podcast name. I'll remember it later. But it got a big write up in Vancouver Sun. It's a big podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And his mom contacted him today and went, "Is this the thing you're always telling me about?" I was like, "Yes, it is." Mm. So it's like the internet like radio show. Ah, mom. And just reading that, it was just like, oh, this is every podcaster's mom.
Yeah, yeah. And dad. Mm-hmm. Let's be fair. Let's be fair to moms and dads.
You know what, though? I guess I never expected dad to give it a listen anyway. But you know, you expect mom will show up to the school play. Dad will reluctantly show up to the school play.
Yeah, yeah. At least show up and take pictures of the podcast. Just a few pictures of the computer.
Now, speaking of dads, there was a Father's Day recently.
Yes, that's correct.
How was your Father's Day being a father for all this dad bashing I'm doing?
When was I bashing dads?
No, I was.
Oh, sorry.
Just now.
How was my Father's Day? Well, let me just give you a quick, can I give you like a quick description of Father's Day?
Of what it is?
What I did. No, oh. Not what it is. I think we know what it is, which is an excuse to sell cards and get people out of restaurants, which is basically, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's a big commercial thing, right? Power to the people.
Okay.
But
that's a lot of Father's Day bashing.
Mine consists, okay, first thing, fabulous, great gifts from my daughters. So I'm not knocking that. Great. I got a card that said best dad. So someone's wondering who it is. Mm-hmm. It's me, best dad. So I went to church. Then I went home, made lunch.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Here's what I'm just thinking. And the sermon was about the Holy Father. And then you had your best dad card there and went, no. So, I mean, yeah, pretty good, but not the best.
Pretty good.
The Holy Father, but not the best. We all,
No, that was not the subject of the... But anyway, so then went home, made lunch, took my daughter to the barn.
That's a lot of good best dad and things to be
drove doing. Back home, dropped her off at home, then drove to Horseshoe Bay, picked up my other daughter, who's coming home from work.
Said, top this card.
drove back again. Then I think I worked on the title card for an hour, then had some dinner. Then what did I do? I can't remember after that. It's all kind of vague. Oh, I think I went somewhere.
Did you go to a movie?
No, I didn't go to a movie.
Did you go to a play?
No.
Concert?
No.
Fight club?
Maybe I didn't go anywhere.
Dad fight club.
I can't remember.
All the dads get together, take your shirts off, and fight and tell dad jokes in a basement.
No, I didn't do that either. That's next weekend. No, I can't remember what I did, but I did something, and then I did something else.
Good.
But I can't remember now.
Hey, man, any Father's Day you can remember wasn't a good one.
That's right.
That's what they say.
You weren't there.
That's right.
No, it was good. I mean, you know, what can you say? It's Father's Day. I talked to my dad. I talked to my dad. That's what I did.
Yeah, that's a thing you do.
Talked to my dad.
There you go.
My dad talked to me for about 5 minutes. Then he said, do you want to talk to your mom? Then he called my mom over to the phone.
Yeah, that's what dad does.
That's what my dad does. That's fine. We can pretty much run out of conversation in around 5 minutes, so... Then my mom and I talked for about an hour.
About your dad?
Yeah, just bad mouthing him. No, you know, just family. Catching up on the gossip. Because I come from a very, very strange family in that we don't really talk to each other very much. My brothers and I.
I don't think that's necessarily a strange thing.
You don't think that's strange?
Okay, let me ask. Folks that are out there, do you talk to your family a lot?
Yeah.
My answer about me? Nope.
No, you don't.
Even the ones I get along with. I don't talk to a lot. It's more, you know, holidays and whatnot. You know, if they happen to be in town, because I have a sister who's in Calgary now, but if she would visit or whatever, then yes. Yeah. But aside from that, nope, not a lot of... A little Facebooky. A little, you know, maybe we correct each other on our posts and send Snopes articles underneath them saying that's not true at all. That kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even do Facebook with my brothers, so...
Are your parents on Facebook?
No.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Yeah.
You're the most blessed.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's fantastic.
My mom isn't writing me letters in the comment section of other people's posts.
That's been known to happen.
Oh.
Personal ones? Personal things?
Yeah.
Yeah. How's the rash? Things like that.
What is my pharmacist doing on Facebook?
Yeah. When are you going to call your sister?
Yeah.
Sorry about what I said last weekend. You know, your kids are attractive.
Yeah.
You know, things like that in the middle of a discussion where you're talking about a Walt Whitman film with everyone else.
Whit Stillman, but yeah.
Oh, sorry. Or whatever. Whit Stillman.
Yeah.
That's
okay. I knew what you meant.
Yeah. I'm at my wit's end.
At your Walt's end. I don't know. I find it sort of odd that we don't talk that much.
Did
but
you
maybe
talk
it's
a lot when you were younger and lived in the same house?
We did, but it mostly involved flailing fists and shouting insults, so I don't
This is know. With your brothers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's... it wasn't all the time, but we were pretty much... Particularly me and the middle brother, we were very close in age, and we did not get along, ever. in our lives, I don't think. So that was,
You just like competing for the same kind of ground?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're too close in age. And I think we had shared friends, mm-hmm. you know, and I tended to collect his friends that kind of he discarded or whatever. So I don't know. It was very, and we're both competitive. So that made it, you know, there's a lot of things, broken fights, chairs thrown at each other, knives thrown, hockey sticks thrown like javelins.
There were knives thrown?
Oh, yes.
Okay. That, folks, I had to go back and cover that, right? I had to. Now, when you're saying that, are we talking butter knives? Are we talking switchblades?
I think it was like a steak knife was thrown one time during lunch at home.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that
That's
too.
Not good.
No, no. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, I guess it was.
Nope. That doesn't excuse it.
Nope. Yeah, one time my brother punched me in the face and I fell backwards in a chair and broke the chair. And as soon as that happened, all anger was gone. And it was just parent panic where you're just like, Mom and Dad, I can't know. So we were like sitting the chair back up and trying to like squish the chair back together so right. that it would just, and then I could never lean back in my chair after that because it would just fall out if I did. So I just had to sit forward and pretend that never happened. And then eventually when my mom went to get the chairs done, then they're like, why is this chair wiggly? Yeah.
Was there ever a period of time where he looked up to you as like the older brother and, you know, would want to tag along with you and, you know, when you're a bit younger?
It's possible, but I probably I probably said no, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was the older brother. Like, I have super older brother issues, you know. You know what I mean? Like, if you're an older brother,
I am an older brother.
You're an older brother. Yeah. So I don't know if you have these sort of issues, but I've noticed this with other older brothers.
We have the same amount of people in our mm-hmm. you know, family. I got two siblings, but they're both sisters. Mm-hmm. Right.
And that may be, that may change the dynamic a little bit.
And one of my siblings is 2 years younger than me, and one is 9 years younger than me.
Okay.
So the one I'm 2 years younger than, or 2 years older than, I did not get along with at all.
Yeah.
You know, I do now mostly because of,
distance?
She's got kids. Yeah, maybe. But she's got kids, and I get along very well with the kids, and so we do stuff together like that. But we do not see eye to eye on many things at all. It's very rare. We like each other, but, you know, more now than we did then for sure, but we do not see eye to eye.
Yeah With my brother, I don't even know now if I'm that much fonder of him than I like him away from me, like I like him fine as a person, but if we're together I get very, very tired of him very quickly. He's a very energetic person, very, you know, sort of hyper, talks a lot, you know, kind of, I don't know. It just kind of gets my nerves very quickly. So.
Were you competitive when you were you were young?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Were you competitive in the same fields?
I think. I guess in a way, probably not though, because I was not good at sports, and he was always very good at sports.
What I remember of him in school was being on a unicycle and a real extrovert. He was a real.
So, yes.
He was a real
very athletic
people's person. Mm-hmm. People really liked him or very interested in him. And, you know, he would do things like he would go out on a window ledge that was very high up and walk along the window ledge and just casually, like, oh, my God, getting the attention and whatnot.
That's called poor impulse control, which is something that he still has. And it's affected his life in a very negative way. It's his inability to make good decisions, you know, at a particular time. Mm-hmm. That's... Like when you're saying that, he was very outgoing. He was a very outgoing person to a degree and very athletic. Like you say, rode a unicycle. He learned to ride a unicycle in like an afternoon. Our aunt said, no one can ride this thing. Do you guys want to try it? And so we brought it home. I tried it and just fell over. He got on and he was riding around in like a couple hours, you know, and he's just a person who could do that. He could do a standing backflip, just stuff like that, took some real athletic skill. Whereas I was just like this big lumbering giraffe that if I tried to do that, I would have broken my neck just because I didn't have the physical strength to get my large frame, whereas he's about 4 inches, maybe 6 inches shorter than me, and he's always small and wiry. In sports and things, he always excelled way more than I did. But when you say gregarious, it's true. And here's the thing, was he would make friends with people, and he'd have like a group of friends that he would make, and then he would alienate them all, and then they'd be my friends, and that would make him mad. And he did that all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of the friends that I had were people that just sort of came to the house a lot for a while, and I became friends with them because they were there.
Right.
And then when they got in a fight or whatever happened with my brother, then I would sort of inherit these guys as friends or these girls as friends. And it was just weird. It was a strange thing, but that was just how it went. Like, because he was outgoing, but also he, like I say, has poor impulse control. He tends to speak without thinking. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, people get sort of
tired. And I mean, in high school, I you know, as someone who spoke without thinking all the time, mm-hmm. can't really throw stones at that at that kind of thing. I wonder what it would be like if I had had a brother, though, that was like 2 years older than me, mm-hmm. was almost like, you know, a slightly taller version of me,
yeah.
who was more a little more mature, mm-hmm. who could do more things. And, you know, if that that would probably really get to me. I could see
well,
that.
Well, that's the
know?
Thing. That's the yeah. problem. Like, for him going through school, he was always facing what I left behind, right? Mm-hmm. Which was not that I was a great student necessarily, but I was a smart student.
Right.
And so, you know, teachers always remembered me as being funny, as being clever, you know, as being well-behaved and, you know, just a kind of good fellow.
Right.
And then my brother would come into that and I'd be like, well, here comes Dave number two. And he, well, I'm not the same person.
Right.
So,
different,
you know,
style. Yeah. But I was just saying, like, if some, when you're saying you collected his friends, if like the things that would probably initially attract a person to him,
yeah,
you probably had the good bits, but some of the, not the bad bits, but also everyone likes to hang around with someone older when they're that age too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just cooler to hang around with an older guy. And, you know, and again, you're a little taller, you're a little this, you're a little bit the deluxe model, and, you know, he's there.
And he can never
get to that because he can never be as old as you. And he can, you know, and then you're out of high school and there you go. Yeah. I just wonder about that. That's tricky. If I had an older sibling, I just wonder what it would have been like for me. That'd be odd.
Yeah, I don't think I would enjoy it. I've always enjoyed being the oldest, even though it came with way more responsibility.
Yeah.
And still does. I still get the blame for anything my brothers did. My mom still brings up things that happened as being my fault that it happened.
Yeah.
Even when my brother stole my car, I still get blamed for that. I have no idea what
the keys in it?
I left the keys in my desk when I was in the hospital.
Okay, so wait a second. Let's backtrack on this. Okay. So why are you in the hospital again?
I had cancer.
Right. So your brother stole your car while you had cancer, and you're getting the blame.
Yeah.
That is a harsh. Is a harsh thing. That's pretty harsh.
It's kind of weird, but yeah.
Speaking of hospitals, we've got the sirens going by. You know the game. Pick what it is. Is it a fire truck? Is it a police truck? Is it an ambulance? Is it a hazmat? What do you think it is? Is it the Ghostbusters van? Did you say ambulance? Well, you can enjoy a sandwich then. This week, it's enjoy a sandwich.
Enjoy a sandwich, okay. Right.
And guys, don't be like having one of those Subway footlongs, because we may have another siren soon.
Sure.
And you can't eat a bunch of footlongs.
So before we condemn my brother to, I just want to say
I don't even think any of that's condemning your brother. I think that's a situation. Oh, well, the stealing the car. Yeah, we got to cover that ground. Go ahead to finish that story.
Well, I mean, like I say, he just had poor impulse control, right? So to him, I was gone. He needed to get somewhere. The obvious thing to do was take my car, even though his license was suspended, and take my car somewhere. The problem was that one, he was speeding. Two, he got pulled over by the police. Mm-hmm. Three, he couldn't drive my car anymore. So he had to have a friend come pick him up and take my car home. And I'd already returned home. So I came home and I was like, what's going on? Like, where's my car? So I was phoning 911 and then they pulled up. So yeah, I wasn't very happy, but, you know, it's all right. But the thing is that I was going to say about older brothers or older siblings, and I have this in spades, which is a real sense of mine. It's mine. You know, like when I was little, mm-hmm. everything was mine. And at some point, this other person came and wanted everything to be his when it was obviously mine.
Right.
And so I have this real, you know, thing of, this is my parking space. This is my place at the table. Mm-hmm. This is my room. This is my stuff. I have that less as a dad, in a family situation, I have that way less than I did when I was growing up with a family. You know, when my room was my domain and everything in it was mine.
Yeah.
And don't go in the desk and take my keys, please. You know, just stuff like that, right? Like,
that's all you had.
I guess that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, all you have and part of your identity, if that's how you identify yourself, mm-hmm. your music and stuff like that. To be fair, when my brother left home the first time, he took all my records with him. So, you know, like my need to be...
with your permission or not?
No, not my permission, just left with him. Because I didn't even know he was moving out. He was just gone when I came home.
Okay. You have a lot of records too. That's a lot of records.
That time, yeah, I did have quite a few records at that time. You're right. Not a ton, maybe 50 records.
Like, oh, is that?
Not,
okay,
yeah.
But still.
But for a teenager, that was a lot of records. Mm-hmm. When you got 50 times $7. That's a lot of,
yeah,
you know.
No one could do that math.
I mean, you can't do the math. I just mean, you know, over time, that's right. A lot of money.
It is.
I did a paper route, so it wasn't like I was rolling in dough.
Right.
It just seemed like, but I think that's a middle brother or a younger brother, sister thing, which is, well, what's yours is mine, you know, because I need to use it too, because I want to use it.
My youngest sister took all my albums and glued them, not glued them, but like nailed them to her wall, like, and then glued new middles onto them, just like made them into art.
Yeah.
So I found all my record albums like on her wall as art.
And were you a little choked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was annoying. Because my albums.
Because they were your albums.
Yeah, that was not great.
I think you're right. And in a way that's...
It's nice that she did art, but that's no good. Yeah.
But it's funny, but to her, she probably wouldn't understand why that was an issue.
Yeah.
Because what's yours is hers.
Right.
Because we're a family.
Yeah.
You know, but to you, you're like, well, I know we're a sort of a family, but also you're an interloper.
Yeah.
And you've come on the scene late.
I would steal money from her piggy bank, too, so I was a bad person. So, you know, listen, we're all jerks in the eyes of the Lord.
One time my brother and I got in a fight. This is another breaking something and everything changing.
This is, again, middle brother.
Middle brother. We got in a fight, and we started in the carport. He threw a hockey stick and hit me in the back, like threw it like a spear and hit me in the back.
Right.
And I was so mad. I picked up the hockey stick, and I was pretending I was going to smash his stereo.
Right.
So then I threw the hockey stick, purposely missing, but it went through the wall of his room. And once again, parrot panic.
Yeah.
My God, we got to move everything over 5 inches to cover up this hole in the wall.
For the rest of time.
Because it wasn't
We also have to live in the house until mom and dad die, because they could never know this.
Oh, every upstairs door, except for my parents, every upstairs door had holes in it from someone kicking it or punching, trying to get through the door. The bathroom door, and all three of our bedroom doors were all these holes knocked in them.
Yeah, I remember when punching walls really seemed like a good idea.
Not the wall, it's just the door.
No, I got you.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah. Did you actually punch a wall?
Oh, lots. Yeah,
really.
But that's part of a situation that I had going on. Yeah, yeah.
Did you before you did start doing that? Did you go through with a stud finder and just mark off where the studs weren't so that it made it more safe for yourself?
No. No, I just wanted...
You measured 16 on cent? No.
No, there wasn't a lot of thought involved when it went from that to that.
Did you ever hit a stud? And all the times you punched? Or did you go through? Or did you just kind of...
This is a... Well, I never actually ended up going through a wall. Because I would usually... Sometimes I'd hit a door jam or I'd hit something that was like... I felt it was fairly not going to put my fist through the wall.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to hit something. Yeah.
Wow.
That is a separate topic that can be discussed. Okay, and I'm open to discussing it, but it's a completely separate topic.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. One time, a friend who was a girlfriend, but not a girlfriend.
Understood.
She started going out with my brother. And I said to her at the time, I said two things. I said, one, if you start going out with him, we won't be friends anymore. And that's not that I won't be friendly with you anymore. It's just that I can't know you if you're going out with my brother because we don't get along. So I don't want to be a third wheel with my brother and a girl. And I also said to her, he's not what he seems like. Like, you know, like he's a bad guy.
Ouch. Okay.
And he was bad to her because he was a bad guy. And, you know, like I say, this poor impulse control and bad decision making.
Right.
He quit school He quit school 2 weeks before school ended.
Mm.
Like, what? Kind of.
Now, with that situation with her, did she not see him then?
Or no, did she? No, of course she listened. Did. Yeah, of course she did.
Listened. No one listens to that.
No, of course not.
No, I've had people come to my door and just go, listen, don't go out with blah, 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 blah. Here's the documentation. Here's the photo proof. I've got video surveillance. Here's the affidavits. Yeah. And it's like, oh, you. Like, it'll be different.
Yeah,
and then you go, yeah, no one will ever listen to that.
Yeah, but
that is pretty harsh, like having your brother, you know, go, don't. I know him really well, and you shouldn't. And you're probably right, too. But boy, yeah, that's rough.
I know it's harsh to say that, but I just knew him, and I knew his track record, and and I liked her, so I didn't want her to be hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
Everyone's got to be hurt in their own way, though.
I guess that's it.
Everyone's got to touch the hot stove.
We're friendly now, but for a long time, we weren't friendly.
Are you talking to your brother or the girl?
The girl. Yeah, yeah. My brother and I, like I say, I have no problem with him. I have no real problem with him, but I do get tired of him very quickly.
My sister, who's 2 years younger, I think we did basically go, if you do something, I'm not going to do it. So she really did get into sports and bodybuilding and that kind of scene really, really hard. And that was kind of her way of kind of maintaining control over horses. Over things. Yeah. Like horses? And horses, yeah. Mm-hmm. She loved horses. But I think that was more of, you know, girls at the time loved mm-hmm. horses.
Yeah.
But she really loved horses and mm-hmm. yeah, and has had a couple of horses in her life. But yeah, she was very much the sporty yeah. kind of thing, mm-hmm. Kind of party kind of person. Uh-huh. And I was not into that kind of thing. No. We just like really just, we could have like divided up things that teenagers do. Like you take that, I take that, you take that, I take that. Never our kind of paths would meet.
Yeah.
You know, in that situation.
But she, her life is pretty nice. She's married. She's got children,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, whereas my brother, you know, through a series of terrible decisions that he's made over his life, he's, you know, 2 years younger than me, or one year and 8 months younger than me. And he's unmarried, doesn't have a girlfriend, mm-hmm. works a menial job, lives at home. You know, it's just, and in a way that, I feel sorry for him for that, because that's like a trap, right? Like it's
very difficult.
It's hard to get out of that. Like, how are you going to meet someone how are you going to meet a woman at that age who is in a similar circumstance, but isn't, you know what I mean? Isn't doing what he did to get to that point.
If, right.
Like, if I can talk around without really saying
yeah,
what
same, you know. Same here. I'm yeah. I think with my, you know, and again, they'll never listen to this show. But I think with my sister, she did the things that she did, like the getting married and mm-hmm. kids and what yeah. have you. And she's like said this to me, where it's like, well, now's the time. Now's
okay.
the time that oh, you really? Get married. This mm-hmm. when you get married.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she, you know, had the first child, she was like, well, now's the time because, you know, time's a ticking. Now's the time, optimal time to do this. And
mm-hmm.
there was pressure, I think, in the family on his side to,
okay.
to have kids. And then when first time I met my nephew, she said, she was holding him and she went, yeah, I am not a baby person.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And I was like, okay. But, you know, I knew things would still be fine. But it's, but yeah, I think she did the things that society said, this mm-hmm. is the things you should do.
Okay.
You know, she put this money away because this is what you do. You get, and she's got a house
yeah.
because you get a house. Mm-hmm. You know, you invest in this and this is the life and this is how you do the things that you do and you do. And
well, thank
know,
God for those people.
Yeah. No, that is absolutely.
You know,
I think that's how
a as lot much of, as it's not us, you know, thank goodness for squares that just keep everything ticking along.
There's a little, yeah.
Because if we ran, it would just be a mess.
Yeah. And it's, and you know, and it, you know, she loves her family and, you mm-hmm. know, they're happy kids and they have yeah. the problems that people have and they get through the things that people get through. And it all, you know, other people I know who are married with kids, they have pretty much the same situations
yeah.
with, mm-hmm. you know, school and what have you. But yeah, it feels like this is the thing you do and you do these things and this is how you're accepted. And I think she was more interested from the get-go in being popular and using that as a,
yeah.
as a kind of control, where I really kind of feared popularity. Hmm. I thought like popularity.
Well, thank God you do a podcast.
Yeah. No you're shit.
Guaranteed.
No shit. But it felt like popularity was a trap in school. And it's like, if I'm in this, then I'm stuck in this.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be stuck in anything. And, you know, and I think I had trust issues, so I didn't want to like trust that these people would have my back.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, no, I'm going to loan her this business mm-hmm. and I'll be in this. And then I'm great. Now I'm going to go over to here and I'll do this. Great. Now I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to do theater. I'm going to do art. I'm going to do this over here. I'm going to do some comedy over here. I'm going to mix it all up. I'll have all these different friends and I never want these friends to meet. Because if these friends meet, they might know each other. And then if I lose the friendship of someone in this group, I might lose the friendship of everyone in this group. But this way, if I fucking burn my bridges in the stand-up world,
sure.
fuck it. Pivot, turn, go to the comic book folks. It'll be fine because none of them were connected. We lived in an unconnected time where everyone didn't know each other via Facebook or yeah, what yeah, have you. And yeah. everyone wasn't interacting.
That's an interesting neurotic look at friendship, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But it does happen sometimes when you lose a friend, then you do lose the circumference of friends around them who it's now awkward sometimes. It's like, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to go see this thing, but I'm seeing it with this person, so we can't see that.
Okay.
Yeah, then you kind of lose that circle and maybe they take sides on an issue yeah, or something. Yeah. And well, there you go.
I think I've only lost one friend like that in my life where for some reason I alienated that person. I don't think I intentionally did. I don't know what I did, actually, to alienate that person. But that I think that's only time I've ever done that, where I know that he doesn't like me
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, which is, you know, I can't, it's out of my control, but it's very weird. Like most of my friends, I feel like I could still contact and be friendly with.
Right.
even if we've sort of drifted apart just because of time and situations or whatever. Or are you
Why I'm laughing is it just reminded me of something where okay. I always thought, like, there's only one person in the world who really dislikes me. And it was when I was in college, mm-hmm. I was teaching a workshop, and it was high school students who came to take an improv workshop.
Okay.
And this one kid did a thing, and he was one of these guys who I always think, like, when you've got a group of high schoolers, there's one guy who's the gorilla, and the gorilla needs all the attention. Okay. And the gorilla's like, hey, and is like in every scene and has to do everything as the focus of everything. And yeah. He's a big boisterous fella.
Okay.
And so he came into a scene and he did something, and I did a little. And like in the note immediately afterwards, I did a little kind of mean comment to him, and I could tell it hurt his feelings. And I was like, oh, shit. And I tried to like backpedal it, but it didn't backpedal well enough. And it was just like, oh, that was fucking mean. Ah, God damn it. And I felt bad about that. Okay. And I went like, that guy fucking hates me. Mm. That guy hates me. Okay. Cut to about 15 years later. And my friend Randy goes, yeah, I was doing this show with this guy. Oh, this guy fucking hates you. What happened? Oh, back then he did this. It was like, okay, that's fair. So I was like, okay, he kept it for that amount of time. Cut to. Like it must be 20, literally 25 pushing more yeah. years later.
Yeah.
And someone else mentioned, yeah, I ran into this one guy who heard about you doing this show. Yeah. Oh, fuck, that guy just went off on you. How much he hates you. Like, yeah, holding that grudge from 25 years ago, the one fucking thing I said.
Yeah.
And, like, I thought, like, man, he took it deep. And, God damn it, 25 years later, I'm still an asshole to that guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm sure there are people that I wasn't friends with
yeah.
that I made comments to that do not like me because I was a caustic person when I was in high school and loved to needle people.
It was also a meaner time. It was a time. You might it was be a time right, when yeah. humor was more put down, more mm-hmm. cruel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right. And I reveled in it. I won't say that I didn't because I don't know. It's part of my personality, I guess, to be a person. And at the time, I mean, my brothers, like I could say about my brothers, I could honestly say that I never bullied my brothers, physically never bullied my brothers, mm-hmm. but I mentally or verbally bullied them a lot. Because I was the smartest person in the family, and I could talk circles around them. And so I used that as a control.
And occasionally a knife would get thrown.
Or punches would get thrown. And I wasn't so good in that situation, because I was not a physical person. And my anger doesn't work that way. My anger is very, very short-lived. So I can't fight in that way, because if I'm physically fighting someone and I'm not angry anymore, it's you can't fight. You
My know? Sister actually had an amazing punch and like would really hurt you. Like she worked on it like hard.
Yeah.
You know, so it was we did not have a lot of physical altercations with that. And then if I did, you know, punch her, that was like a real bad scene that I'm like punching my sister. So that's no good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had very different like I really remember once my dad trying to teach us both the fight and you know he was trying to show me how to throw a punch and it was just not going and then she threw one but that's how you do it and he was like really saying like this
she
is...
knocked him unconscious
no she but she hit a solid punch and she was like this is how you do it
yeah
and I was like well I guess I can't punch though in retrospect obviously you know I've okay we're gonna crack this fucking egg real fast because my dad used to hit me, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I learned that the way to deal with someone who was bigger than you wasn't to fight back. Because if you fight back, things get way, way worse. You're when you're in a fight with someone, you shut the fuck down, you know, or try to joke your way out of it or distract or do something else mm-hmm. because there's no way I could beat up my fucking dad. So that was the main person that I would have any physical altercations with. So, you know, when he's trying to show me how to throw a punch, the person I would be throwing a punch at would be fucking him. So obviously this is not a scenario that I can go with at all.
Yeah.
But my sister, who I've since found has, you know, I don't know whether she's erased things or not, but she says like, you know, that my dad never hit her. And I thought he was hitting both of us. But she said it never happened. So to her, throwing the punch is like, well, this is just someone throwing me. It's not the same layout, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. You know, but that's definitely how I learned to deal with, you know, a confrontation is like, no, you don't fight the person, that's going to make things infinitely worse. And what if I did hurt my dad? Now the whole family is fucked and everything's screwed, right? So there's no out besides leaving. So, you know, I learned the way to deal with things was get the hell out of there.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, it's I was going to say something. Oh, yeah, I would say the TV guy, I just controlled the television
right.
when I was, you know, cuz I was the oldest. And so I was able to, I could read.
All your shows were the good shows.
That's right. All the shows were the good shows. And then I would put rules in place that would guarantee me that I would control. So the rule was if who's ever watching television gets to choose what's on.
Okay.
You know, so if you get there first, you get to watch what you want. And so I would make sure that I was the first one in front of the television. I would sit through all kinds of garbage just to get to the show I wanted to watch to guarantee that I would see that show, you know. And yeah, it was just, but so many, you know, it's obviously, why would my brothers go along with that rule? Well, just because I forced them to by, you know, talking fast to them or whatever and just making, you know, well, that's obviously the rule. This is the rule. You know, mom and dad say so. And then blah, 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 blah. And they're just like, well, their little heads are like spinning. And then they're just like, well, only David knows how to read the TV guide. So he's going to tell us what's good or bad.
Right.
I remember my brother, like my youngest brother, when he's a teenager, finally like coming out from under my thumb and like learning to read the TV guide. So he could understand what was playing. And he's like, I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm going to figure this out myself.
Good.
Which was good for him, yeah. Right? At the time, it was, of course, terrible for me. I was like, oh, losing my hegemony over the television set. This is terrible. But yeah, so it's just, you know, you just can't. The family dynamic is something that no one comes out looking good, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I think it's just like such a boiling pot of all sorts of emotions that everyone's just squished together, and you can't choose your family, right? Mm. Like your friends, you can pick. You can look at someone.
Sorry, most of my family was adopted, so in fact, they did choose their family
in a way, but yeah, they didn't know the person.
You don't know how it was going to be. Yeah, here, you didn't
know the personality that's you're going right. to get. I mean, it's no different than, I mean, adopting someone is really no different than giving birth to someone in the sense mm-hmm. that it's a dice roll of what you're going to get. You're going to get me, or you're going to get my brother, or you're going to get my other brother, or you, or your sisters. You know, it's just whatever. Yep. And then you all have to like fit together. It's not like Friends where you can use your nerd dar and figure out the people in your life that are going to fit your personality. Yeah. And then you shed the ones that don't or change around and you keep moving through life like that. You can't do that with your family. You're just stuck. It's like, I remember G.K. Chesterton saying a family is like you rolled out of the out of the fireplace one day and then that's who you live with.
Right.
And there you go. That's your family. Like you don't have any choice. So you just have to learn to work it out somehow. Some families do. Some families have get along fantastically well. I personally, I think our family,
yeah, I would agree
with
that.
Gets along fantastically well. But
was there that bullying thing, you know, in your family with the girls?
No. Well,
they'd have to probably say it.
Yeah, they would have to say
that's their opinion more than your
yeah,
opinion.
Because I mean, I'm not there all the time, and when I think about how my oldest daughter watches television, there probably was a similar dynamic that I had where she just kind of. Even with us there, she kind of wants to be the person with the TV controller in her hand and rule what we're watching and stuff like that. And she has no problem with, you know, watching, like, even though we haven't, you know, seen where she has no problem with watching, say, Orange is the New Black and just watching all the new episodes. And so you walk through the house, you're like, oh, man, I haven't seen that. I don't want to watch this yet. So you kind of have to, you know, quickly duck out of the room, you know. So, yeah, it's just a different, you know, it's family.
Mm-hmm. It's good family. It's good. Let us know what you if any of this is
resonating.
Resonating, sounding similar, sounding familiar. If so, you know, let us know at sneakydragon.com. That's our website.
Well, that's another question. Just before we go on, is do you think modern families, like our generation of parents, let's say, do you think do we raise our kids differently, and do we create a different way a family works than say our parents did or their parents did? Like, obviously, my parents grew up with parents who lived through the Great Depression, who were very damaged by that and passed that damage, the war and the Great Depression and stuff like that, passed those sort of worries and fears on to
their... It was a survival situation.
Passed that on to our parents, who then raised us, attempted to raise us with that similar kind of fearfulness of, you know, don't become an artist because you'll die. You'll starve to death and just be dead. You need to get a real job, you know, and then you get... race into this world where there are no real jobs now. Like no one, you know, I'm onto my, you know, third job.
Right.
You know, whereas my dad worked one job his whole life, or right. or that one style of job.
Because
right?
because America, North America, didn't get products cheaper from overseas, as in China and what have mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the big change.
Yeah.
Is,
yeah.
you know, that we manufacture things here and now we import things. Yeah. And so the people that make the manufacturing things who would have that job for life, that all changed.
Yeah.
Everything changes. It's I mean, but I bet your grandparents, mm-hmm. if you went up to them and went, oh man, everything changed. They go, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit. You're probably That's right. how it fucking goes. Mm. And I think our parents had a generation where they were told, we're settled.
Yeah.
We're locked in. This is how it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Stay on target.
Yeah.
We got a deal going, yeah. You know, and, you know, here we go. So just play by the rules and here you go. And then the rules change. And your grandparents went, yeah, the rules fucking change. That's how
I
it goes.
I think that's true. And I think that that generation that grew up from the war on were probably the best treated generation in terms of as a working class.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that they allowed unions to exist. There was some,
yeah.
you know, like nowadays, the idea of a union is, you know, I know there's still some unions around and stuff like that, but nowhere near the power they
like
once
our grandparents
had.
Bought houses. Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like they did a lot to buy those houses.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, when you see how the grandparents scrimp and again, yeah. every Christmas save that wrapping paper,
yeah.
you go like, okay, yeah, there's some stuff here. But it yeah. feels like the parents, you work the job during the day that mm-hmm. you'd work
yeah.
and you know, work this amount of time, your 8-hour day, 5 days a week, you get a house. Of course you get a house. Why wouldn't you get a house?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you get a car? Why wouldn't you be able to go on vacation, you know, once a year or twice a year? Why mm-hmm. wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. That's the fucking deal.
Yeah.
And like for ours not being wham, 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 but it's just like, you know, you weren't promised. Not well, maybe you were promised stuff. Maybe
I think we were promised.
Yeah. And then, you know, that all fell out. But like, you know.
Because
yeah.
we were raised as if that was going to be our future. When we got out of school, there, you know, with our whatever, we were going to have this future of guaranteed income over this time period and a particular life.
At least that's
have,
what and... school hinted at strongly. And like, you know, said you'd best like be that. Studying now in school
mm-hmm.
Because here's how it works. You got to then go to college. And if you don't go to college, I mean, especially now.
Yeah.
In the way schools teach now, it's like, if you don't go to college, I'm just going to give you your bindle sack and put you on a train, you hobo. You know,
yeah.
good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. But even back then, it was like, you got to do this. Then you got to go to college.
Yeah.
Then you got this. And here it's going to be. And, you know, we both had different things happen to us. You know, you ended up having a family, a little bit of a surprise, but then you ended up having a family and that mm-hmm. pushed you in that direction.
Yeah.
And for me, I decided to go a different road, you know, than, you know, a traditional kind of, you know, 9-to-5 lifestyle. And basically being a freelance writer, freelance, whatever I could be.
Sure.
So I don't know if that wave hit us as strongly or not. This isn't how it all fucking works,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we both had kind of, and you also had the cancer thing too, but we had the surprises, we had the bashes, we had mm-hmm. the flips,
yeah.
and like, okay, adjust, and here we go. And so when other things happen, you go, yep, adjust, here we go. Whereas I wonder if for someone like my sister, if she was going through that, how she'd be able to do it, because she did do all the things
yeah.
in the way you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I can see a lot of people really kind of messed up now with, you know, again, we're not really promised anything, but you kind of, as we say, you kind of were. Society seemed to have a little deal going that didn't end up happening.
Yeah, it's curious. I remember someone one time saying to me about the girls, I said, I really admire how much you do with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like how everything you do, you have them with you.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, it when they said that, I was taken aback by the fact that it didn't occur to me that you didn't do that. Like, why would I not take my daughters to a play that we're going to? I mean, that just seems odd to me. That I want to share that experience with them, right? Right. It's more depressing now when I ask my youngest daughter, I say, remember when we went to such and such? No. What about when we went to such and such? No. Then I start asking questions like, what about the time we went to see the movie? Blah, blah, blah? No, don't remember that. Like, yeah. so little that she remembers of it.
That's okay.
But I know that it shaped her.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I know that it's part of her. She may not know about it. The same way she doesn't remember being potty trained.
Yeah, she doesn't still remember every meal that you fed her, but, you know, that kept her alive.
That's right.
And made her the person she is. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's this interesting to me. Now, I don't want you to talk out of school here, but confidentially. You don't have to answer this. If you say you don't want to answer it, that's
all
okay.
Right.
Do you think that your sister's like a good parent, or do you think she's an okay parent? Do you think, would you like her for a mom? Maybe I should put it like that.
No.
Okay.
No, we would, no. But I think the kids that she's got work great for her parenting,
mm-hmm.
right? They've really gotten into sports.
Yeah.
And she loves that.
Yeah.
And she loves that. She loves that and full on supports that and is a complete... Kind
but if she
soccer,
had a, if she had an arty mom. Child, if she had a child who was more artsy and not interested in sports, do you think she'd do well in that situation?
Because
that's a hard niece, thing for
her
parents.
Her niece is, you know, a little bit artsy. I know that there's been okay. There was a thing where you know when she was determining who the godparents were going to be,
mm-hmm.
she said to me and Pia that you know we would consider you, but you know it's just you've got too risky a lifestyle, you know.
For this.
So they went with someone else that mm-hmm. they saw, and it was a weird thing because like at the time Pia and I were technically pretty well off.
Okay,
like we were both
doing
pretty
well.
Much, you know, I was like just coming off of a TV show and she had like a hit book and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but still to her doesn't, you know, and like it doesn't matter. Like, honestly, I think Pia had been in Rolling Stone that week, you know, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Her friend from school is the person or whoever it is the more reliable this is going to be. Though, if something happened, clearly both Pia and I would be immediately in there making sure things were stable if something ever went wrong. We've always hopefully been there for them if something does go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just, we were just considered flakes, basically.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Speaking of flaky things, eat a piece of pie if you can decide what this siren is. It was an ambulance. If you'd guessed ambulance, eat a piece of pie.
Wow.
Meat or fruit, your choice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And if you don't have a pie, Dave may send you one.
No, I will not.
He's a very good pieman.
I do. I am a good pieman, but
yeah, no, that is a tough thing to say. You know, when we go over there, here's the thing that also happens. When we go over there, she will almost always say, they're not like this around us.
Mm.
They're so different. Like I've seen each of them, I think, cry once, you know, wow. Which is very unusual, very unusual. But there's things we've done when we've gone over there that we've actively tried to do so that they always feel they can talk to us. They always feel, you know, we really listen intently to them. We do a whole bunch of different things. And when they're over at our place, it's the same situation. And we just I think, talk to them differently. And, of course, you know, parents are different than, you know, aunts and uncles can come in and they can be the, you know. But we try not to be that. We try not to be the, here, have all the stuff. And we're going to, woo, we're just the fun. You know, we try to be there for the talkings and the mm-hmm. and the stuff and sure. if something's going wrong and you know and any time that you know they do end up like opening to us you know about something you know that means the world and you know we really do the kind of hardcore okay this is important let's just focus on this and talk this completely through with like no judgment just like know that if shit hits fan at some point in your life I want you to know you can call me or talk to me and even though I hate talking on the phone you can fucking call me you're one of the few people that can call me we can talk here we'll do this and I don't know if that pipe will ever you know lead anywhere but we've tried our best. My sister does feel it is weird though how they are very different. You know,
sure.
Immediately change kind of almost personalities when we come into the room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
interesting. Well, you bring a different dynamic with you, so that's something. Yeah, no, it's curious. I just asked that question. It's because you know I don't blame my parents, but I feel like they were the wrong parents for me as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the sense that you know they're kind of contradictory mess. You know, they're kind of it's just weird, like buying me a drawing table. But at the same time, you know, it's only a hobby. Don't ever expect to do this for, you know, just that kind of weird double message.
I don't have asked you this before, but did you have a member of your family that went into the arts and was the example of, seen it gone south?
No.
Was it your dad giving up on his dreams of becoming a you know an announcer radio mm-hmm. person that maybe you know he pushed forward? Okay, here's another question: Was your mom part of your dad stopping that?
Oh, I think so for sure. That once I came into the picture,
We
got to be serious.
Smarten up.
You know, we're here by ourselves. There's no one to help us.
Right.
I'm all by myself as a mother. you're gone all day working and I'm just here by myself. There's no support system around us. You know,
right.
Her mom and sister are up, you know, up, and his brothers and sisters and family are up here. They're down in Portland. And so I think that that was a big reason, A, that they moved back here, and B, that my dad had to give up on that. And I, you know, I would never say he's wrong. I, you know, I collapsed, you know, as a kid with the idea of, well, I wouldn't say I collapsed. There's lots of other problems for me as a creative person that have nothing to do with what my parents at all, for sure. Mm. That just are my own neurotic issues that have nothing to do with them. So I would never say that they stopped me from being a cartoonist or whatever, because that was entirely me. But I'd say that my dad gave up, but his dad gave up too. You know, his dad was mm-hmm. a performer. You know, we've talked about the fact that he had a minstrel show and that he did that sort of thing. And he played the piano and he sang songs. And, you know, he was a sort of little, kind of born entertainer, you know, but he had to give all that up in order to raise this humongous family that he made. And I guess, and maybe that's the lesson that my dad took, is that, you know, you have this dream for a while, and then if it doesn't work out right away, don't go up to the interior and start working at a radio station. You know, if you can't get a job where you want to live, then just give up on it and get, you know, start working in a food business. Food
well, industry. The more noble way of looking at it is, I can't drag my family into this. It's mm-hmm. okay. I can take this hit.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to let my kids suffer
sure.
for, you know, my dreams. So, you know, I mean, it's a noble thing to go, I'm going to,
I, you know, yes.
As long as then the backlash isn't any resentment or whatever of such.
Yeah. And I mean, my dad is still like a big ham, you know, like he loves to perform still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously I don't. I think we've got to make that clear. but I just feel like, I mean, he still has like, I've heard it, I've listened to it, to his audition tape that he did when he's a DJ. He talks and plays music and stuff like that. And it's kind of interesting to listen to. He just play all the songs, but he introduces the songs. One of them is... weirdly, when I was a kid, I was like, oh, this is weird. My dad's introducing a song by the lady who used to be on the Gong Show.
Oh, J.P. Morgan?
J.P. Morgan, yeah. Oh. Singing, I think, Blue Moon.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just weird. I was like, oh, J.P. Morgan? I didn't realize she was a singer. She actually had a career outside of the Gong Show.
That's right.
But yeah, so he had this tape, and I guess that was his audition tape. He did work at a radio station in Portland, and he worked at a warehouse, and then he worked evenings on the weekends at a radio station.
Does the radio station still exist?
I don't know. I have to ask him what
station. That would be an interesting thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Next time you go to Portland, see if the radio station your dad worked at exists.
That would be kind of cool. I've driven past the hospital I was born at, but I've never...
Might be, if it does exist, get him a mug from there or something. Mm.
Yeah, your dad, you almost had it. I mean, he joined
yeah, you almost had this mug.
He joined the American. He joined the Army uh-huh. in order to be on the radio. You know, that's the only reason he was in the American military, was he had this fast track to citizenship, and you could only be on the radio in the States if you were a citizen. Mm-hmm. So that was his fast track. He went and did basic service or basic training, and then he did his, I don't know how long, a year or whatever, went to Korea,
yeah.
was patrolled the DMZ.
It really does feel like you were in the right family. Like it feels like, you know, of the line of relatives, mm-hmm. it does lead straight to you.
Yeah, or yeah. Jason... as someone else who
yeah.
who has similar story guest in the sense of the show. That
yeah.
you know, the sense that he wanted to be a performer, he did a, you know, a sketch comedy show for several years, mm-hmm. Did some television work, but you know, works a job that he told me the other day that he hates, which I think is really depressing.
Yep.
I don't hate my job. I kind of like the job that I do. Mm-hmm. It's hard work, and you know, sitting in a chair would also be fun, but I don't mind it. Like I, you know. But he hates his job, according to him. And that, to me, is really terrible. I'll have to get him on the show to ask him about that. Mm-hmm. But because I'd be interested in what happened and what if there's similarities between our stories in terms of, you know, I mean, here's someone who also didn't graduate from university, stopped before, credits short of graduating, mm-hmm. you know, and this is kind of an interesting why. What's the Dedrick gene that causes these things? Because it's weird. I have another cousin who got a scholarship to McGill University and went there, became an architect, went to Switzerland and apprenticed at a firm there, lived in Toronto. Now she lives here. She does, you know, she's an architect. That's an impressive achievement, you know, mm-hmm. and probably one of the very few people of my generation of my family to do, well, let me just think now. Yes, the only one who has made that kind of big educational step forward, you know, and graduated and has a job like that. You know, everyone else fell apart, didn't even go or fell somewhere short. You know, so it's interesting.
Do either of your brothers, are they involved in the arts in any way, or were they involved in the arts
never,
in any way?
Never.
No interest in like any musical instruments played or anything like that?
My brother played saxophone in band. My younger brother did not have any interest or inclination or any interest in school, actually. He spent a lot of time with headaches and not going to school.
Okay.
And I don't blame him. He was not, school was not designed for him. He's a kinetic learner. Mm. He is a mechanical genius and an absolute, this is a amazing person at learning how to do something. Like if you know, want to tile your floor, to put some tile, he can do it. Like there's no problem. I'll do that, you know, and does it so well. It's unbelievable. In fact, one time I was at his old house and he'd done this tile and we're moving out, taking this old stove out of, and so I was helping move the stove out and he pulled it away. And then there's this one not matching tile in the middle of all this tile. And I said, what happened here? And he goes, you know, I'm so obsessed with getting everything just right that I just want to put this one mistake in so that, you know, I could sort of teach myself to not fret about these things.
Right. It's like God and the platypus.
Is that what the platypus is?
Yeah, it's just God going, fuck it. Let's just have one thing that's clearly wrong. Let's have a mammal that lays an egg. Fine. That way I'll just, because I'm too much of a perfectionist. It's fine. I'll just leave it alone.
Yeah.
It's got stingers. Well, it's got a duck bill. It's crazy. It's got a beaver tail. I can fix it, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to walk away.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, I thought that's really admirable because I also have that, obviously have that issue of I can't let things go.
Yeah.
Because they're not perfect, you know. And it's a real problem, you know, like that's why the title cards have been so good for me is the sense that they create this false deadline. I mean, it's not a real deadline, but it creates a sort of sense of, you know, looming deadline that I have to complete. And it gets me out past myself, you know. So even if I'm not happy 100% with what I'm doing, I just have to swallow that unhappiness. Yeah.
And then people will only remember the good shit.
Well, then, or they don't know what you intended.
Yeah, yeah. But so I'm really, just saying, like, when you look at, say, you know, as we've been asking people to pick their favorite cards, you know, people pick the good ones and you know, they don't look at the other ones. It's like it's like your favorite songs on an album.
Yeah.
You forget the ones that you forget. Who cares? You only remember these ones because that's the way you start. Well, you will remember the stinkeroos, maybe. Maybe there's one that you find, like, really offensive or a song that you loathe. But for the most part, you remember the dizzying lows, but then you remember the highs, but you don't remember the rest. Yeah. It all fades away. And I think that is a big thing as artists that you've got to remember is, like, most of your shit's going to be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember that. They'll only remember the good stuff. They might remember a bit of the bad stuff, but they're not going to remember the rest of the stuff. So just fucking plow through.
That's such an important, that is an important lesson to learn as an artist is the sense, is that, you, is to plow through. Is if you don't.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, you didn't do it, you know, and that's a really hard, but that's a hard lesson to learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably next to get going. It's probably the hardest thing to learn as an artist, to learn to finish or to at least do something.
Yeah. You know?
It's so easy to talk about it, have a sketchbook full of preliminary drawings and, you know, and it'd be constantly talking about getting this thing done, but to actually get it going is difficult. And that's maybe why we live in an interesting time for that now with webcomics, let's say, for instance, that you can create, installments that make it easier for you to work piecemeal at something rather than have to think of something as a huge project with some far-off end.
I do feel like we're in a time, though, where everyone is busy. Everyone's busy. Everyone's busy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're never not busy.
Because
I think you're doing so many different things. You know, I've always done a lot of different things. But all these different things that you never, and a lot of them don't get completed. So those never get checked off your list. So you never stop feeling busy about those too.
Yeah.
So you just get this overloaded feeling of just like, oh, I'm never done.
You're right.
Never done. Whereas I feel like, you know, let's go back to our parents. I feel like when they were done with their work, they're on the weekend.
Yeah.
I don't think my dad was thinking about his work on the weekend for the most part. Maybe it was later and then I was shitty. But for the most part, it was like, yeah, weekend was the weekend.
My dad always had homework from work. But,
oh, okay.
He would do at night with a briefcase in his lap, watching television. He would just do his notes and stuff. Or listening to the football game and the radio upstairs. But he never... but on the weekends, though, it was always massive projects. Like, I'm always impressed with things that my dad did. Like, you know... that he did around the house and things, you know. Our houses were always immaculate, you know. It was like I lived in a freaking hospital, the way my parents kept it clean and neat and the way we were expected to keep it clean and neat, you know. It's I've definitely, just my standards have definitely fallen since I left home.
I remember when we were kids, and you know, the place would get cleaned, and we get the really stern thing from my dad of like, let's keep it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, now I hate this clean place because now it's so much pressure.
Yeah,
and it's just like, we're kids.
I guess that's,
we're kids. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, if you wanted a non-sticky floor, then you pick the wrong animals to have in your house of children.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, you bought Kool-Aid, right? That's going to end up on the floor. You bought me these Legos. That's why they're in the carpet.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, if you didn't want this, we could have had all Nerf and would not be having the swearing, screaming right mm-hmm. now.
But, you know, I had to make my bed every day. I wasn't allowed to not have an unmade bed. I wasn't allowed to leave my clothes on the floor.
Why don't we kind of like, because we're coming to the end here, let's discuss the made bed situation. I was listening to a podcast, not a podcast, but I was listening to a thing that this army fellow, I believe, or military man,
yes,
was talking about how the importance of a made bed and how, you know, you always had this one task that you started in the morning and then you got that task off your list and then you would get on going to do more things.
Wow.
And it was doing that thing. And
that's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, he tells this story. You know, of like to people in the schools and what have you.
Yeah.
And I hear that mm-hmm. and I go, no.
Because, of course you do.
Because what I say is the contrarian. That is like, yeah, but what you've done there is you've made an unnecessary task your first task of the day. So you've just made a make work project.
Yeah.
That could have been spent this time you're spending.
Yeah.
Whatever you're talking about, you could be doing some push-ups. You could be doing something that you could be making breakfast.
Yeah.
You could be doing something that actually does something. You could be petting your cat. Cat enjoys that. But you decided to make your bed. Okay, and that's fine. If you like aesthetically your made bed, that's great, fantastic. But actually, technically, your bed's better off being unmade if you have the window open because the sun actually kills more things and it's actually healthier. I mean, wash your sheets for fuck's sake. But, you know, actually an unmade bed is a healthier bed than a made bed.
Is that true?
Yes, it is
true. Or are you just making that up?
No, I'm not making that up.
I think you just made it.
Nope, sunlight on the... there's more things that can grow in the darkness in your bed, you know, under the sheets, you know, because you got the moisture.
I don't believe that.
You've just come out of your bed. You're a moist fellow in the morning. Mm-hmm. You have now sealed that moisture in all day long and let it do its business.
Yeah.
Whereas unmade bed, window blinds open, sunlight on it, dead by the end of the night. Yay. And then he says, at the end of the day, you've got a nice made bed. And
I'm
like, yeah, that sounds great. Except here's the thing. Now you, Johnny Tightbed, you got to spend extra time getting into that fucking bed.
Whereas that's a great Mr. feeling.
Open, Mr.
Oh, no,
open
no,
bed,
no.
I'm immediately hitting the bed.
You were wrong. You were wrong. As speaking to you, as you are an unmade bedetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to disagree with you. Because I think in my heart, I'm a made bedetarian.
Okay.
I wish that I followed that principle more closely. When I make an excuse for myself in the morning that I don't have time to make my bed.
Right.
I have time to flip my sheets up, but I don't have time to like tuck them in and stuff like that.
Okay.
Which is a bad excuse to be lazy, really, because I'm just being lazy by not quickly running around the bed and pushing my hand to tuck in the sheets. But I love, love, love to crawl into a freshly made bed, especially if it's clean sheets.
Yeah.
And new and it's all nicely tucked in. Oh man, that is heaven for me.
Good.
I love that feeling.
Good.
I love the feeling. Even though I know that just crawling into it, I'm wrecking it. I love the feeling.
You're not wrecking it. You're giving it purpose.
I know.
Why would the sealed bed exist except for you?
I'm just joking.
Yes.
But I just love that feeling of crawling into it, and it's so good. That is a great feeling to me. And for some reason, I've always loved a cold bed to crawl into.
Okay.
I like it less now that when I work late at night in the shop in the wintertime when my feet are freezing cold when I come in. But when I was younger, I loved to come home from we go to my grandma's quite often on the weekends on a Sunday, and we come home on a Sunday night and the house would be cold because we weren't home to have the heat on. And I'd crawl into my bed and I would just have to do like bicycle maneuver, you know, like I was riding a bicycle to get my feet warm and get the bed warmed up. And I just loved that feeling. And my bed was always made because I had to make my bed every day. I was not allowed to not have a made bed. My mom would have had something to say to me if I did that. And so that was just part of it. And I didn't even think about it. I didn't consider it as, you know, like, should I make a bed? No, it was just like, okay, I got up, make bed.
Yep.
Now
it's
I can
something
go have...
we do as a society. Some people do, some people don't.
And I would do weird trade-offs too, like make my bed. And I would get up really early because my mom made me go to bed really early. So I got up super early because you know, I only could sleep for a certain amount of time. And I would get up and I had this weird thing where I wanted to eat in front of the television, but I felt like I couldn't do it if I didn't make the set the table first for my parents. That was kind of my trade-off. So I'm going to set the table for you,
right?
And you're going to let me eat downstairs. It was an unspoken agreement. Sure. I never said to them, this is what I'm thinking, guys.
Yeah, you slipped a $5 bill under the plate.
Under each bowl. Yeah. I would have set the table. So everything was all set for them when they got up in the morning. And I would be, and I would have eaten and watched Charles Kuralt's morning news show on Cairo while waiting for TV Patches.
You earned
to start.
That Charles Kuralt.
Well, that was the only thing that was on. So I would watch these
shows. Yeah, what are you going to do, not watch TV?
Yeah. Well, when you're a kid, I mean, I was waiting for JP Patches to start, so I would watch.
Of course, because how old were you at the time?
You know, 7 or 8.
Oh, that's good. Okay, that's a fair JP. Actually, any age is a good age for JP Patches.
Yeah.
That's fine. Well, there was a siren, but it didn't go in front of our thing, so there you go.
You want to wrap it up?
We're going to wrap it up. So, folks, hey, we talked about a lot of stuff. If you have any opinions, thoughts, think Dave was a terrible brother, let him know at sneakydragon.com. That's where our message boards are.
I was a terrible brother.
No, you weren't. You were a kid. There's nothing wrong with being a kid. You know, a messy kid and a brother who's this. It's your kids. You're young. You're not that bright. Your brains aren't fully functioned. Don't worry about it. You're fine. There's a reason you don't get tried as an adult. Because you're dumb. Right? And you don't want a bunch of dumb people in jail. Because then you make the jail dumber.
Oh, that's...
And then all of a sudden, license plates are misspelled. You know, you don't need that.
Yep.
That's they all should be words. That's why they're all random letters and numbers, because they have a bunch of people that can't spell in there.
That's right.
That's the problem.
They can't even make those special, what are those plates called? The personalized
plates. Yeah. Can't do it. And that's where the fat cash is. Mm-hmm. Can't do it. That's why they don't arrest kids. Until you learn to spell. If you want to write us via the email, that is that's possible.
I tried to get a personalized license plate for Sneaky Dragon.
And what was it going to say?
Well, people asked me why it said Sky Darn.
If you want to comment on that, want to go to our email, which is sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Quite a few of you have been writing us on that, and it's always a delight to see that, so thank you. If you want to go to Twitter, why don't you? I did a tweet yesterday. Took off like wildfire.
Did it? What was it?
Dave, I don't want to brag.
Tell me the tweet.
About 420 likes.
Wow.
And 170 retweets.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was about how Paul Ryan turned off the cameras at the big sit-in. There was a sit-in about gun control.
Oh, that, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he turned off the cameras so that C-SPAN couldn't broadcast it. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, the funny thing is that in 2016, Paul Ryan thinks that you can turn cameras off.
Mm.
So, and people were delighted by that. And by gosh, I was the belle of the Twitter ball yesterday. Anyway. You want to go see me on Twitter, I'm at Ian Boothby. Anyway, but if you want to talk to us, that is @sneaky_dragon on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And retweet our things.
Please do.
Maybe we're also on Tumblr, sneakydragon.tumblr.com. That's what that is. And I think that's all the internet there is. We're not on Instagram yet.
No.
We don't take the pictures.
I mean, I have an Instagram account.
But I haven't done nothing with it. We're not on Snapchat. Mm. We're not on Tinder. We're not on Grindr. We're on Minder Your Own Business. And what that is it's a bunch of pictures of us. And then when you want to know more information, it goes, no, it won't give you any more. Yeah. Just Minder Your Own Business.
Kind of like our website.
Yeah. By the way, I know that there's a thing out there now called Bumble. Dave invented Bumble many, many years ago. Let me just tell you that much.
Is that right? There was a thing called Bumble?
There is a thing called Bumble now. It's quite popular, yeah. And Dave invented it many, many years ago at a little dinner we had with some Image Comics folks, and then they incorporated it into a comic called Charlie Loves Robots.
Mm.
And that was Dave's idea. So,
I did try to get the domain name, but it was held. It was just like a...
That is a shame, because if you had, you'd be rich right now, because it's doing pretty good, Bumble.
Well, they would have bought it for me for a song.
Yep, and that song would be...
Oh, Songs in the Key of Life.
There you go.
I have no idea why is it. It's not even a song. It's
if you
record.
Got a comment to Dave about name. That, please, you know all the ways. Thank you so much for listening to our show. Thank you, Dave, for coming in front of Congress today and answering our questions about your family, all these personal details.
It would have been Flight of the Bumblebee by B. Bumble and the Stingers. That's an actual song. Actual song.
I would have gone, what's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. Who did the better B side? Me or Dale, for God's sake. All right, we should have ended.
Yeah.
We should have ended. Damn it. Okay, I'm just going to slowly back out of the room.
I'm breaking out in hives.
Back out of the room.